the man that says what the people need to hear.
Somebody need to hear this.
That's right.
He's going to be bringing you the word each and every week. You better not only be ready, but stay ready.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
The time is up. It's the moment you've been waiting for. He's here. It's the Raw and Uncut Podcast with Pastor Radden. Service starts now.
Going to get here and get ready to start our Bible study on tonight. Now, we would have started with about 5 minutes late because we were trying to get some things going on with Facebook Live, so we don't have our normal stand, so we're coming at it from a different angle on tonight. Amen. But thank God for tonight. Thank God for this Bible study on tonight. Let us get ready to go into a word of prayer before we open up. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for this day, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your presence, God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy watching over us all the day long, God, keeping us and covering us, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name for waking us up today in our right mind, Heavenly Father, to give you praise, honor, and glory, God. Thank you for ordering our steps in Jesus' holy name, God. Praying, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you bless this Bible study on tonight, God. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that your will be done in your way in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Use me for this lesson on tonight in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that I give you glory and honor, Lord, because you're worthy to be praised in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 While we get that phone, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm just going to talk to you tonight, man, about keep fighting. Keep on fighting what I preached about last week. This is kind of a more of an in-depth detail. I'll be coming out of the book of 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter. And I'll be using the example of David and Goliath. Just a few verses, not the whole thing. I think everybody pretty much knows the story about David and Goliath. But the thing is, what I want to talk about is I use that for an example. And then I'm going to go into some issues about fighting in the spirit and praying to God to remove things from our lives. Because we know that the devil, as I get on that, he's our enemy. And he's doing all that he can to throw a monkey wrench into our lives to cause disruption. He's the author of confusion. But we'll get into that in just a minute. But right now, what I wanted to get at to the meat of this was, first of all, about Goliath and the armies of Israel. First of all, coming from the 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter, starting at the 4th verse. First of all, it talks about the size of Goliath. Just right off hand, do we know the exact height of Goliath or how big he was? When it says that he went out, it says, and there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Does anybody have any idea how big that is? 6 cubits and a span. That's what it says his height was. When you break it down, and a cubit is like 1.5 feet or something to that nature. I think it's something like that. But at any rate, when you multiply it and convert it and all that, it comes to 9 feet is what he was. And a span is 9 inches. So Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's first of all what it's talking about. Then when you go all the way down to verse 9, see, I'm just pretty much getting to the main points here. It was a whole army, but it's just like they used him because he was a warrior, and it said that he was a champion. So obviously he won many battles. So in verse 9, it says he's talking to the army of Israel. And look what he says. He says, if he be able to fight me, he's talking about any one of the soldiers. If he's able to fight me and kill me, then we will serve or be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. So right there, he put a challenge out there. And in a couple of verses down in verse 11, it says that when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now you mean to tell me it says all of Israel, a whole army, is scared of one man? Now, I don't know how many people were there, but you see it says all of the army was scared of him. But my God, now we're going to come all the way down to verse 24. And it says that, look at what it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. One man has grown men running. One man, not the army. It didn't say Goliath and the army. They were looking at one man because, no, that's not normal to see somebody that's 9 feet tall and 9 inches. This man was almost 10 feet tall and sent a whole bunch of men, possibly hundreds, maybe even thousands, running. Now let's go all the way to verse 32. Now it says in verse 32, here comes a young boy known for keeping sheep, will be the future king of Israel, David. And it says that, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David said, I'll fight him. Don't worry about it. Since y'all won't do it, I'll do it. I'll go fight him. And look, in verse 33, in the next verse, it says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go up against this man, this Philistine, to fight him. It says, because you are young, you're nothing but a youth. And this man has been fighting from a child, from a youth. This man been fighting for years. But it goes on to say in verse 35, and it says, and I went after him and I smote, because he's telling about the story about the lion and the bear. And David said unto Saul, he said, I kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and it took the lamb out of the flock. And it says that I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of the mouth and rose against me. He says, neither the lion or the bear, they both came after him now. You talking about a lion and a bear on two different occasions. He says, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. He says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. This man was ready. He said that this uncircumcised Philistine, see, first of all, during that time, if you was on God's side, every male, as we talked about it some years ago, you got circumcised. When you got circumcised, you was on God's. You was part of that covenant. If you was uncircumcised, that means you wasn't no part of God. You had no part of it. This goes all the way back to Abraham, when it says that all male babies got circumcised on the eighth day, and you was part of God. You was part of that covenant. But he said, this uncircumcised Philistine. See, David wasn't scared. David wasn't scared. Can you imagine? Just imagine in this church, all the men in here, from bishop, myself, minister, deacon, every male in here. And it's one man standing outside saying that, you know what? I'm going to burn this church to the ground. What y'all going to do about it? Now we standing there looking at each other. And here comes somebody like Zaire or Dwayne comes out and says, this man here say he gonna burn down this church? Not on our watch. That ain't happening. This is the house of the Lord. That's not gonna happen. And we sit here looking at him like, wait a minute. Can you imagine something like that? Grown man is out here and this young boy come out here, or this young man, saying that he's gonna fight. And eventually, as you read it, it goes on to say that there's basically Saul said, well, then go on and fight him. And it says that how he went and got 5 stones and all of that. And how David spoke to Saul, and he spoke to him. See, David was not scared. As a matter of fact, that he said that when Goliath charged at him, he ran back at him. He didn't run away. He said, because I come in the name of the army of the Lord. He came, and he said he knew he had God on his side. So tell me this, if he's not afraid, why would we be afraid of our problems? Because, see, Goliath was a problem, a big problem. So like I tell you then, what's the Goliath in your life? What's the problem in your life? Is there anything that God can't handle? Is there anything too hard for God? He said and told Goliath that he was going to cut his head off. David told him that. He said, I will cut your head off and it'll be for the carcasses. Let me see what I'm trying to go in here. Now look at verse 44. This is Goliath talking in verse 44. It says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine in verse 45, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and a shield. But I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Hallelujah, God. So he's telling him he's coming in the name of the Lord. Not scared, not one bit. And here it is. Look at it says in verse 48. It says, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out the stone and he slung it and he hit Goliath and it said it sunk in his forehead and he fell to the ground. In verse 50, it said, David prevailed over the Philistine and slung with the stone and smote the Philistine, slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. So David took the sword from Goliath, took his own sword, and cut Goliath's head off with it. My God. Me and a man of God were talking about this some years ago. He said, man, David was just plain crazy. David was just crazy. Crazy for the Lord. And we have to be the same way. But what's your Goliath? What are we dealing with? We have problems too. This man was 9 feet tall and had people running from him, a whole army. But it took one man, one young man to say, not so. And that's how we're supposed to be. We sing the songs about putting it in the atmosphere. We do this. We say scriptures. But what happens when we're faced with problems? What happens if, let's just say, if you're going to have problems maybe with your children, on the job, with your health, finances, all kinds of different things, with your marriage even. Now what are you going to do? Let's talk about marriage, because I have my own testimony about that maybe some of you probably don't even know. Even with my own marriage. But see, with marriage, you know, for us that are married, how you got to fight to keep that going. The enemy is always trying to raise his head to doggone separate the husband and wife, to keep them at odds all the time. The enemy knows, the devil knows how powerful a husband and a wife is. Because, you know, first of all, because he says it in, not about the marriage, but in 1 Peter and 5 and 8, when he says that, to be sober and to be vigilant, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remember, I'll tell you how he's a stalker. He's stalking and he's watching and he's looking at anything that he can to separate a husband and a wife. Anything that he can to blow it up, to blow all your peace up. But see, there was a time when I've been an ordained minister for maybe about a year. This was like back in 2008. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife was going through some issues, hard issues, and it wasn't nothing worldly, just not getting along for nothing. Just some issues with the house that we had, and she was ready to move out, arguing over stupid stuff and all of that type of foolishness. And she said she was going to move out at the end of the month. She got this house that she done picked out that she going to move in. And I'm like, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying here. You want to go, then you go then, whatever the case may be. And sure enough, when the time came, Sister Rand moved out of there and moved into her house. Moved into that house with her, DJ Elijah Latigre was in the house. I was over in the house. We were living across the street from where we at now. My parents were still over there then. I'm like, that's fine with me. She out the house. I'm in here now, all by myself. And see what it is, see, should have recognized that it was coming from the enemy.
All right.
Because, see, we was really going through some issues, and then it took my mama to come and say, boy, get your butt over there to that house with your family.
All right.
You need to be over there. Here you are, a minister, and you over here, and she over there. You need to go over there with your family. I was like, all right, mama, all right. So I went over there, and still yet, nothing no better once I got in there. It got to the point. Well, my wife even took off her wedding ring for a while, and I don't even know if anybody here noticed. She took it off. It was about like 2 weeks. That's how bad it was. She was that upset, she took off her ring for a while. And we got into it about that. I'm fussing at her about taking off her ring and not wearing it and whatnot. And it got to the point where we had to let Pastor and Bishop know at the time. Bishop just got out of surgery at that time and whatnot. He was just back at home. He was still on a cane back then. So once he rested good from the hospital and stuff, I remember when he was in the hospital, I didn't even want to tell him all that stuff, what was going on. And I didn't. I was worried about it was just mainly for him to focus on getting better. Well, by the time he got out of the hospital and everything, he called my wife and I and told us to come up here for some counseling and stuff and whatnot. And we did that for like 2 weeks in a row. But to tell you how observant kids are, DJ at the time was like 9 years old. He's 21 now, but at that time, he was 9. And you know how kids will draw a picture of the family, little stick figures of the daddy, the mama, and all that. And when he drew the picture, he drew it and he drew a circle around her finger, and that circle represented the ring. Why? Because he heard us arguing about that. I thought that was real sweet of him. It touched me that he did something like that. Most kids won't even pay nothing like that no attention. They'll just draw the hand or whatever. But he heard us arguing about it, and sure enough, he drew a little circle around the finger representing the ring and whatnot. And it still took about another week after that or so, and she put it back on and whatnot. That's how bad it was. I tell you, we was on the edge. The edge of divorce right there. Amen. And it was probably getting ready. And it wasn't nothing but the devil throwing grenades and blowing up stuff and whatnot. We got to recognize. See, I done learned from that. We got to recognize the tricks of the enemy. It's nothing but that's all he wants to do. A husband and wife is powerful in the gospel. And he knows that. As long as you're on one accord, you can get some things done. You praying together. You fasting together. You praying for one another. You can get some things done. Yes, there's going to be some roadblocks. Yes, there's going to be some speed bumps. But you got to pray for your spouse. That's what I'm saying. You got to fight for your marriage. You got to fight for this thing. Every day, you got to pray for your spouse, no matter how mad they make you. You got to pray for them. Like I said, we was there. We was almost right there on the edge. And it wasn't nothing but the enemy. Ain't had nothing. You would think, my, well, what could have been? Was I out there fooling around? Was she out there fooling around? No. Was it domestic violence? No. Wasn't none of that. And what in the world could possibly make y'all get to that point? Wasn't nothing but the enemy. Just arguing over stupid stuff. Every day. Just can't get along. And that's just aggravating. And nobody likes to come home and it's just silence in the house. Nobody's speaking. And all of that type of foolishness. But thank God Almighty. That's why I always give God praise and credit for that. And I give the God the glory for that. Because it took our pastor and bishop to bring us together and bring up some points and whatnot and praying together. It was prayer that kept us going. And I give God the glory for that. And here we are, August of 21st of this year, 2020, made 21 years still together. Hallelujah, God. Amen. So I give God the praise and glory for that. But that was just some of that stuff. So I know that I have some advice to give the people on what to look for in different things. You got to pray for that because, see, the enemy is smooth. Amen. I hear you, sweetie Z. I hear you way up here. I hear you. Handle your business. The enemy will do all that he can, and you got to recognize that. As I said before, if you know something is going to make your spouse mad, don't do it, don't say it. But sometimes we do the things out of spite and all of this type of foolishness and whatnot. Marriage is not a competition. It's not that. A lot of that crops up. Well, I did this and you didn't do that. Or I paid this and you didn't and all of this type of stuff. Or I bought this last time when you go by. It's all kinds of things in there. A lot of things you got to come into agreement about some things to avoid little simple things like that. Everybody has to do their part. The husband do his part, the wife do their part, the children do their part, and everything will be all right. But it's up to the enemy to get everybody off track. That's one thing, and you got to fight for that. The devil is a liar. As the word says, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Amen. Like I said, I've always said, show me the proof where it says that there's more Christian divorces than anything else. That's a lie. I know we've all seen some of them shows at one point in time or another, divorce court, and you've never heard the judge ask, not one time, are y'all Christians or not? So how can that be true, that Christians get more divorces than anybody else? That's a lie. I've been debunked that years ago. There's no proof of that. Well, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Well, obviously, the other 50, they make it. You always got to look at the positive side of it. Amen. And you got to pray that we're going to be on the positive side of that. Hallelujah, God. Anything that's negative, there's a positive for a negative. Hallelujah. We got to be positive about it. But see, another thing that'll get people and you got to fight for your children. If you have wayward children, if they're grown, if they're in school and they're causing all kinds of disruptions, I done been through that. We know that my son, like I said, the man looked like the school stayed calling me about something. I got to get off work and go get him. Meet the teachers, all this type of foolishness and all of this type of mess. And it wasn't from a lack of parental discipline. He got the fire beat out of him all the time for stuff. But he still would act a fool in school. Maybe not every day. He'll have a span of a few weeks or maybe a month. And then there was something else always going on. This carried on from elementary school. You know, at the end of the year when you have field day in elementary school, from kindergarten to fifth grade, DJ probably only made 2 field days. Oh, wow. Because it was something at the end of the school year all the time. one point, it was, I think it was like 9 days left in the school year. The principal said, you know what, just, you know, he done passed for the next grade. He don't need to come back no more. He's good. Instead of just suspending him and all that, he just said, just, he's good. Just go ahead and let him go for the year. We just see y'all next year. I mean, I think that was when you were like in the fourth grade. It was like 9 school days left and whatnot. I mean, it was always something with that boy and whatnot. In middle school, it was foolishness there. You do all kinds of stuff. You kick them off the team and all of this type of stuff. Breaking out the strap, putting them on punishment, doing this and that. Then you get to high school. Now you're doing stupid stuff. You get put out of high school now. It got to the point where he got put out of high school twice and all of this type of stuff. Then you go to Willow Gray. Y'all know what Willow Gray is? It's military school. Put him in there. Man, he was there for a week. They called me. Military school.
What?
Say, you need to come get him. He keep walking off campus. He don't want to be here. We can't have that. I said, man, God, dog. I had to call my boss. I said, look, man, I got to get off work. I got to go pick him up, man. He at Willow Gray at a military school and acting a fool. He don't like it down there and all this type of garbage and whatnot. But nevertheless, it was always some mess. But he did have to go. Man, he spent 45 days up there on Broad River Road at DJJ up there with all of that type. See, I done been through all of that type of stuff. And you constantly got to constantly fight the devil about stuff. He did something stupid one time. His mug shot on the TV. My phone just blowing up. Because we got the same name. So people calling me. What's going on with that? Was that your boy? I said, man, I'm delivering pizza at the time. Like, what's going on?
Amen.
I ain't know his mug shot flashing all over Columbia. I said, oh, man, God, dog, boy. And all this type of stuff. Larceny. All this type of stupid stuff. And nevertheless, that's one of you, you know, and all of that. But see, had to keep fighting. And still yet fighting. In the spirit. For him, letting the enemy know. And when you talk to people, some people say that, you know, I got into a whole lot of trouble and whatnot. And it took me till I was like in my mid-20s till I got it right. When I was 20, 21 years old, 22, you know, all of this type of stuff was going on and whatnot. And I said, man, I ain't got time for this stuff here. I need him to get it right now. I don't feel like waiting for him 25 or 26 years old. But some people, that's what it be and whatnot. As of right now, you know, he's 21 and he's still trying to figure life out with certain things. And whatnot. There's some things that he's doing that he need to stop doing, and some things that he need to stop doing that he need to start doing. Okay. One positive thing, he's registered to vote now. I told him he's coming with me on election day to go vote and all of that type of stuff. And we're going to be out there early, like 5 something in the morning to do that. You can go back home and go to sleep and whatnot. But you need to be out there when we go voting and all of that type of stuff. But we have to pray for our children. The enemy wants to do that. That you talk about some division between a husband and a wife. Because one might want to discipline one way, one might want to discipline another way, and going through that. But you got to fight for that. Because you got to tell the devil he cannot have your children. He cannot have your spouse. He cannot have this house. And whatever the case may be, it's a constant battle all the time. Because he's not going to give up, and neither should we. We always got to speak stuff out in the atmosphere. Never let, like the songwriter says, I believe it was the Clark sisters, as she was saying that, don't let life shut your mouth. That's the one that she got speak. That was out some years ago. Mm-hmm. You've got to continue to speak over your family as we sing the song in here about that speaking into the atmosphere. You've got to continue to do that. While they're in school, even young adults, that they make good, smart decisions, all of that type of stuff. Because it's never go in. Even you got to pray for your children here, whether they're in elementary, middle school, and high school. Even they get in their 20s, you definitely got to pray for them then. We done all been in our 20s, and you do stupid stuff in your 20s. All right. You got to pray for your young adult children, even when they get to that point. You never can stop praying for the children. And it's always something. Then, if it ain't the marriage or children, now you got issues on the job and stuff like that. And that can cause problems. Because, see, now you're dealing with possibly a supervisor or a boss or whatnot. And depending on what's going on there, you might take it home, which is a big no-no. What affects you at the job should not affect you at home and vice versa. All them issues that you're having with your spouse, you don't bring that to the job. Fussing and mad at people because of you and your spouse got some mess going on. You can't do that. Once you leave that mess for you, that have to go for later. You cannot go to the job mad and angry over what didn't happen at the house. And please don't take that home because your wife and kids ain't got nothing to do with what happened on the job or your husband for that matter. Leave it there. And that's another issue you got to fight in the spirit for. Because see, like I said, that can really get you bogged down and all of that stuff and stuff. And you got to pray for leadership. You got to either pray for a change in leadership or a change for a positive atmosphere. Something got to go. Because it should not get to the point where you just hate and dread to go to work, because now you're going there with a bad attitude. You don't want to be there in the first place. And you definitely don't need to have no issues at home and then go to a job that you don't care for. You definitely need to be praying in the spirit now for these things here. That's, like I said, the enemy is the author of confusion. Amen. He's doing all that he can to get you upset and off track with your marriage, with your children, with your job. Then comes sometimes you're dealing with health issues and whatnot. Before you get a diagnosis about they done found something, they done seen something in your breast, they done seen something in your colon and all of this type of stuff. And do you know that millions of people have died from cancer? Now you got to fight in the spirit for that, or whatever the case may be. Now you got to fight for that. There are people look like they just give up once they get bad news from the doctor. And how many times do we say that God has the last say so, not the doctor? And you got to continue to fight. All of that that's in this Bible about all the people that been healed, it's the same God. He says the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. It's the same God. The same God that healed the woman with the issue of blood. It's the same Jesus that healed the man with the withered hand. It's the same Jesus that touched the man with leprosy and healed him and made him whole. But let me tell you, back in the Bible days, if you look up in the Old Testament about leprosy, about your skin and all of that type of stuff, you talk about treated like an outcast. You couldn't be in society. You had your own colony. You was with nothing but lepers. Do you realize you couldn't even touch nobody? You couldn't even bump into somebody by accident. If you did, you got stoned. They didn't play that stuff. If you read all that stuff in the Old Testament, you had to cover up your mouth and you had to yell, unclean, unclean, when people come by so people can get out the way. All of a sudden, can you imagine if this day and age, if you at the mall or the grocery store or anything, and somebody just yelling out, HIV, HIV, how would people act then? Wouldn't that be something? If people had to yell out that you had HIV, wouldn't that be something? If you had to yell that. It's bad enough now because I think what in neighborhoods now, if there's a sex offender, they have to be registered. And in some places, if I ain't mistaken, it's supposed to be like a sign on the window or the door to let people know that. And so I've heard that years ago. Whether they do that or not, I don't know. But the point is, what if that was the case? Sex offender, what? You, man. So you know how back then they had to yell unclean just to let people know. And they were left. Number one, they had their face all covered up. They had to cover up their lip. It's one of the, in the Old Testament Gospels there, when it tells you that the people had to do that. They had to let people know so you wouldn't touch them. And people just treated, they didn't want to touch you. They didn't want to do nothing. But you think that bothered Jesus? Not one bit. Touched a man and he was healed. Face and everything cleared all up and all of that type of stuff. You have to fight for your health. That's why I say as a part of your prayers, thank God that never take your health for granted. If you know that you don't have nothing that's, you know, obviously wrong, something you got to get treatment for and all of that, thank God for being in good health. Thank God for being in your right mind. And that's something that's just so important. Do you know how good it is to be in your right mind? Do you not know? I don't know if you all saw it or not. It was something that went viral. I don't know how old the picture is. It was a man and it was raining outside. And he was just laying all on the ground, just flopping all around like a fish or something. And people were filming it. And they were like, man, somebody get your people. Somebody get your people. You know how we are. It was a black man down there and they were telling him, get your people. Somebody need to check on their people. This man here flopping around like a fish. I mean, it was bad. I don't know if he was on something or he wasn't in his right mind. Whatever the case, he was all on the ground, flopping around. And right there when I saw it, all I could do was pray for that man, that God would touch him and heal him and get him in his right mind. They did. Somebody was still yelling, call 911 and all of that. So maybe eventually an ambulance probably came and all of that type of stuff. That's why it says you have to thank God for being in your right mind. Because you'll be doing things that you don't know what you're doing. You could be a harm to yourself and others. Thank God. Never take for being in your mind or being in your right mind. Because it's a sad thing when somebody sadly gets, you know, dementia and all the time when you can't remember anything. Especially when you used to know that individual, they could have been brilliant, very smart coming up through the years, had a very prosperous job or whatever. And sadly, They get that, and you know, there's nothing you can do about it. They don't even recognize their own family. And things that's just sad. So always thank God for being in your right mind. You got to fight for your health. Man, I go to my doctor in about another 3 weeks, and I'm going to ask some kind of way, ask him to schedule me a colonoscopy because I'm 47, and I've never had one done yet. And the only reason why I'm accelerating that pace is what happened to Chadwick Boseman. Because that happened to him, and he was much younger than me. And for that to happen, and wasn't that, and that's when I seen, I said, oh, man. I said, you know what? So when I go in October, with last, I'm going to ask him to go ahead and see, I'll go ahead and schedule that and get that done. Because a lot of times they're telling us as black men to wait to 50 to get that done, but we need to get that done early because you see what happened to him. And it can happen. It can happen. So we got to fight. We got to fight. You got to fight in the spirit continually. You got to praise God. When things, especially another thing with when you're dealing, obviously another thing that causes so many issues is a lack of finance. You got to pray to God. Because I know. And I'm still not exactly where that I want to be. And I'm constantly fighting. Constantly fighting God. And you got to continue to quote them scriptures about who you are in Christ. If I said it once, I'd have said it 1,000 times. You got to continue to say that you are blessed in the city and in the field. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath because the Bible says so. And you got to continue. Every day I'm screaming that type of stuff. You got to bind up things. You got to loose things. Hallelujah, God. Amen. You got to speak life over things. You got to, Father God, your word says that if a man findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Then, Father God, I have favor because I'm married. You ordained marriage, Father God.
Amen.
And since you ordained marriage, I'm married, so that means I have favor. Because it says that once you find a wife, you obtain favor from the Lord. And you got to quote these scriptures. You're not going to always have your Bible with you all the time. So therefore, you got to have these scriptures in your heart. You have to. Because there's going to be times when you're away from your Bible and things happen. When you're scrolling, I love social media to a point because you can always got something to pray about. Somebody's always got something. Please pray for my mother. Please pray for this. Please pray for my child. Pray for me or whatnot. There's always something to pray for. And if somebody's asking for prayer, call on all prayer warriors. We'll start praying for whatever that situation may be, and you may not even know the individual. Nobody should want to see anybody doing bad, especially at the height, and COVID-19 is still going on. They shoot pictures of people on ventilators, and it will say, pray for me, I'm worried, I'm scared, and all of this type of stuff. And I've sent encouraging words to people about that. That you are healed in the name of Jesus. You shall recover and be made whole. Hallelujah. As I pray for people every day during COVID-19, no matter what the numbers may say on the news, how they steady rising from deaths, I'm still yet praying that people are being healed, or touch them, that they be whole, and they shall recover. Every day. We can't forget about the people that have, or just sickness in general. You see good things. You see positive things. They show a picture of a child and say that she's released from St. Jude. She beat cancer. Well, amen. I put the little heart symbol. That's good. That's good news. And we got to hear some good news, and you should react to it. That should make you happy when you see that somebody just said, I beat cancer. I'm cancer free now. Well, praise God for that, because it wasn't nobody but God. It wasn't the doctors. Can't give doctors the glory. Give God the glory for giving man and woman the knowledge to help with the stuff. We have to do that. So I'm saying you got to fight for health. You got to fight for children. You got to fight for finances. You got to fight for your marriage. You got to fight for on the job and anything else. And when all five of them is good and you got no issues, well, then thank God that everything is going well. Continue to give God praise and honor. Praying for others and their issues and whatnot, because sooner or later you might have an issue with one of those things or something else. You just might have an issue with one of that. So when everything is going well, continue to give God praise. And then there's some people that are dealing with those things darn near all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Issues with the wife, issues with the husband, issues on the job, got a health issue. I mean, some might have 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, or whatever the case may be. You can never have enough stuff not to pray for. It's always something to pray for. Pray for yourself, your family, praying for people to get their life right, people to get their soul right, praying for people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's always something to fight in the spirit about. because the enemy is not going to give up. He's not going to be satisfied till he take as many people with him as possible. Just like what he did in heaven with the angels. When it said he took a third of them. It's just like he's not going to be satisfied till he throws you completely off track. Completely off track. Amen. And you got to fight him and you got to say, devil, you are a liar. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. And you can't be afraid. Just like David was not afraid when he fought Goliath. Even though the odds was against him, any gambling person would have said, I got my money on the giant. And would have had no idea what was about to happen. It's just the same way. The enemy, it just looked like he's so much bigger than our problems. Just like the songwriter says, don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems how big your God is. Amen. That's how it should be. Don't worry about how big the problem is. God is bigger than your problems. Tell the problem that you serve a big God and a mighty God, and nothing is too hard for him. Nothing. Men and women of God, we're in warfare with all of this what's going on, and we have the armor of God, because God said we're going to be in warfare, and he gives us armor to put on from the helmet down to the feet. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, sword, which is the word of God, shoes of peace. You have all of that, saints of God. The shield of faith, because if David didn't have any faith, why would he go out there and fight? He knew, he said, in the army of the Lord, he wasn't afraid because he had faith. So we got to have faith when we're praying to believe that God is going to fix it. And it might not get fixed today or tomorrow or next week. But we can't give up, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to give up. You got to keep praying until that thing, though, just like we always say, push, pray until something happens. That's a good old acronym, but it means so much. Pray until something happens. You don't give up. You continue to pray, because the devil wants you to be quiet. He don't want you to see. He wants you to worry and be stressed out. Stress brings on headache. Stress brings on ulcers and all kinds of mess. It brings on all kinds of health problems. Stress, and the devil is a liar. We sit around and tell people, too blessed to be stressed. We say that. Do you mean that? Amen. People say that all the time, but do you mean that? That you're too blessed to be stressed. And if you are, then praise God. Then yes, continue to speak positive and not negative. Continue to say that, yes, you are debt-free. That, yes, you are the lender and not the borrower. Can be on the bank or some loan company, all kinds of money, but yet I'm the lender and not the borrower. You got to continue to say that. You got to keep the devil under your foot, because the word says he will make your enemy your footstool, and you got to keep him right there. Hallelujah, God. Because we always have the saying that the devil is busy, which he is. But we as saints of God, we have to be busy too. And that's busy praying and busy believing in God that everything is going to work out. We always say God is good. We always say God is great. Hallelujah, God. And he is a great God, Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we got to believe that no matter what. Pray for your family members. Always remember, somebody was praying for you at one point in time when it looked like you were just all the way headed in the wrong direction. As I tell people all the time, a straight highway to hell was our own. A highway to hell. Straight there. Downhill, no brakes. Exactly where I was going. But I had somebody praying for me. Like the song said, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. Could have been people I don't even know. Even when I was in the army, didn't realize that some of the saved brothers were probably praying for me. Because Lord knows the testimonies. Some brothers now that was up in North Carolina when I got in touch with some of them, they said, man, golly, boy, glad you got saved. With all the foolishness you used to do and the liquor you used to drink, all of that type of stuff. No telling where I would have been. Where would you be right now if it had not been for the Lord? Where would you be? Sick? Jail? Dead? But God kept you here for a reason. As I done told you before, 1,000 times, he chose you for a reason. To serve him. To serve him and to help save others and bring them out of the fire. That's what we do. And the enemy looked like he's doing all that he can to discredit Christianity. To discredit Christians by trying to make us look bad. Because sometimes, yes, men and women do stupid stuff. They do. But like I say, you know, I still yet rather be on the side of God than on the side of the world. Because one thing I say about a Christian that done messed up, at least I know that at least they done repented. They know to do that. You might not see it and never hear it, but they know they done messed up, especially when it goes viral and all of that type of mess. I'm quite sure they repented and asked God for forgiveness. That's why you just can't jump on a man or woman of God when they mess up like that. Because they repented, they made a mistake, and now it's being magnified. Because they know we're supposed to act a certain way, supposed to do certain things a certain way. Amen. We got to watch how we walk. You have to watch your language. You have to watch that stuff. As they say, oil and water, what? It don't mix. How you gonna call yourself a man or woman of God and you sleeping around and not married? If anything, now how many people is praying to keep their private parts in order? How many people saying, God, help me with that issue? Help me with this lust. Because I'm not supposed to be doing it. It's not of you. How many of us are married, sleeping around with somebody else? It happens. Adultery. You still yet got to be praying for God to help you with that lust and eye. Cut it off. Cut that affair off right now because you ain't got no business doing it. Homosexuality, how you being a Christian and doing that, it don't mix. You got to ask God to help you. You got to fight. You got to fight. You got to fight. A lot of people say that I'll come to, you know, when I stop drinking, I'll do this. When I stop chasing women, then I'll be ready to give my life to Christ. The devil going to make sure you don't stop doing neither one of those things. Because he going to keep that alcohol and women looking good and tasting good and all that type of stuff. And you just not going to give up. You're not going to give that up. You fooling yourself. That's a trick of the enemy. That's a trick of the enemy. Because I was knee deep in all of that type of stuff. It's just thank God that I decided to give my life and I didn't come with that garbage. Well, when I stop this, then I'll do this. No, it ain't gonna work that way. Because you're not to. You're supposed to, you be right in the middle of it and you give your life to Christ and ask God and you just work on it day by day, chipping away at it. Just like a hammer and a nail, just chipping away at it. Every day. It's not gonna all leave in one day. You're not gonna stop cussing today. You're not gonna stop lusting today if you give your life to Christ. You're not going to stop cheating today, but you got to work on it. You got to ask God to help you in those areas, and you got to fight.
Amen.
Because if you don't fight, who else going to fight? Ain't nobody going to pray for you like you do. You know what your issues is. If you got sticky fingers, you got to fight.
Amen.
Don't be taking stuff that don't belong to you. You know better than that. You got to fight, saints of God, no matter what. And watch how God worked this thing out. Because the enemy, whatever vice that God delivered you from, the enemy is always trying to pull you right back in that hole. And you got to fight that you don't go back in it. Like the word says in our closing. In the book of Galatians, when it says that the spirit is pulling on you one way, the flesh is pulling on you one way, it's a tug of war, saints of God. It's a tug of war. You hear on the cartoons with the angel on one shoulder, the devil on the other one, and they both trying to get you to do things their way. Which one you go listen to? Let us go into a word of prayer as we get ready to close out.
Amen.
Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this Bible study on tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, God. We thank you for all those that were in attendance, God. Father God, we give you glory and honor, Heavenly Father, because you're worthy to be praised, God. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you continue to order our steps in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Continue to use us for your glory, God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we do not give up. That we will keep on fighting whatever the enemy is trying to take us from or trying to pull us into in the mighty name of Jesus, God. When the devil says yes, we say no. When the devil says no, we say yes, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything is just a complete opposite with the enemy, God. I pray, Lord, that we will never give up, that we will continue to fight, and we will continue to fight, and we will continue to fight till we can't fight no more until you call us home in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we will put all our trust in you, Heavenly Father, Lord. We will lean on you, Heavenly Father. We will depend on you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. And Father God, we pray, Lord, that your will be done in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. I pray that everybody got something out of it tonight. That everybody on Facebook Live that tuned in, that they got something out of it tonight. And remember to keep on fighting. The devil is a liar. And watch God pull you through in Jesus' name. Amen.